questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have a very special guest speaker for today's discussion, Shaykh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
So there are certain days in the, we can say, calendar, which are originated honoring one of the, we can say, rituals which are not related to Islam, but the concept might be approved by the religion of Islam. One of them is Valentine's Day, or also called Saint Valentine's Day, which is February 14th. It is a religious, we can say, cultural celebration of romance and love in many regions of the world. What's Islam's opinion regarding this day, Valentine's Day?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, when you're talking about, Valentine's Day and what is the Islamic viewpoint in this regard, we're talking about an Islamic law, so, each person needs to follow and refer to his, authority, Majid Taqlid, that he follows, and to ask about his opinion in this regard. Before referring to some viewpoints in this regard, let me refer to one point, and that is the fact that although the day might have been a Christian one, a religious one from the beginning, but gradually it's been changed into a cultural event. Yes. So it's not, a Christian day, so to speak, anymore.
That's right.
And, of course, in many countries nowadays, Christian and non-Christian countries, people may celebrate this day as a day for showing love to those people that love.
So in the Islamic calendar, we have it too. For example, the birthday of this or that might be considered as the day of father, mother, or something like that. Exactly. After sometimes it becomes a cultural ritual.
My point is that at the end of the day, when we're talking about the Mother's Day in Islamic Republic of Iran, for example, this is the birthday of Lady Zahra Salamullahi Alayha. It is a religious occasion.
Yes.
But as for Valentine, it's not Christian religious anymore. Yeah, maybe in the past it has the Christian religious color into it, but now it seems that it's more a matter of culture of the West and not a matter of being Christian.
It was called Saint Valentine's Day. It was a saint. That's right, Christian priest, okay?
So before answering this question, let me share the viewpoint, because this question is asked from the religious, great religious scholars. For example, Ayatollah Khamenei is asked whether it is permitted for Muslims to celebrate Valentine. Mm-hmm. And the answer of Ayatollah Khamenei is that it is not permissible if it involves haram illegal actions or promoting false Western culture. I will explain about these two points.
Okay.
And another contemporary scholar, Ayatollah Makarem, he also says that if through this celebration, people would like to show their love toward non-mahram people, then it is haram. Also, if, those people who are mahram to each other, but they want to somehow spread a culture from the West, then it is not encouraged for the Muslims to do that.
But, that's right.
The point is that although, we have many notions about giving gifts to each other, be it between the spouses or, parents and the children, I will share some notions.
Father and mother, that's right.
Exactly.
Okay.
But the point is that is it good to choose Valentine for this day, or we may choose other days in the Islamic calendar?
That's right.
Now, we need to know what is Valentine all about in our time.
Yes.
As I mentioned, it's not a religious occasion anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see, especially in, Western countries, first of all, it is a day for, as I mentioned, showing love. But in most of the cases, if not all, it's a matter of love between BFGF. It's not a matter of love between the spouses.
Okay.
And we know that according to the Islamic laws, it is not permitted for people who are not mahram to each other to do that.
And this is where Islam opposes such days.
Exactly.
Or such behaviors on such days.
Yeah, that's
unlawful,
the point.
Illegitimate relations between opposite genders.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay.
So, as I mentioned, this is coming from the West nowadays, that okay. Valentine is, in most of the cases,
yes.
at least, is a day for girlfriend boyfriends, not yes. the, I mean, husband and the wives, the spouses, no. Usually it is used as a kind of, opportunity for the, youth who are not married to give each other gifts. This is one point.
That's right.
And the second point, which is mentioned in the viewpoints of the great Shia scholars, is that are we allowed to follow, a culture which is coming from non-Muslims? This is a very important point, and interestingly, we have some narrations in this regard.
That's right.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
In Wasa'il al-Shi'a, Volume 5, page 26, there is a chapter on the fact that you are not allowed to wear the clothes that are used and worn by the enemies of Islam.
That's right.
You are not allowed to behave like them, to follow their culture.
Okay.
We need to pay attention to the fact that it's not only the matter of wearing some clothes, because sometimes people may ask that, you're going to make everything very difficult.
That's
but
right.
The point is that it's not as easy as it may seem.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes looking like the people coming from the West, by West here I mean not necessarily the geographical West.
Mm-hmm.
We mean people who are not practicing, even they are not practicing Christian. So the Western culture that we're talking about is a culture which is against values, against religious values, whether it is Islamic values, Christian values, any kind of religious value. So when you have a kind of culture coming from the West trying to, undermine all these values.
That's right.
To destroy any value, be it the family values,
mm-hmm.
religious values, and so on and so forth.
That's right.
We need to be very careful.
That's
sometimes
right.
It begins from wearing some clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So if wearing a clothes means that you are following that culture, Islam says that you're not allowed to do that.
That's right.
Because then there are next steps.
Yes.
So the same is true about, this day.
That's right.
You may claim that I'm just giving some gifts to people that I love, but it's not, only limited to that.
That's right.
There are other points into it attached to Valentine's Day, and gradually you may be inclined toward following other details of this day coming from the West.
This is what is called the cultural invasion,
exactly.
Or cultural attack, when the, that's right, the cultural values of the Western world has penetrated into Eastern, we can say, traditional countries,
mm-hmm.
like, for example, Islamic Republic of Iran or
exactly.
other countries, then gradually it's going to change the whole identity of not only a Muslim, but an Iranian or a yeah. Persian. It's better to say it is not only attacking the religious values, but also the national values of the countries too.
Not only in okay. Iran. In many countries,
yes.
they have indigenous cultures
yes. Yes.
that they respect all these values coming mm-hmm. from the religion too.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that culture coming from the West, again,
that's
I repeat
right.
that when I say coming from the West, I mean, I'm talking about, mm-hmm. I mean, the content.
Yes.
The content which is against religious, yes. Islamic, yes. I mean, human values, we call it the Western culture.
Yes.
So unfortunately, in many countries, you see that these indigenous, mm-hmm. I mean, cultures
yes.
of some like African countries, Asian
yes.
countries, they are also
yes.
invaded by the same Western culture.
And we have seen the cases of Islam's approval on good cultures. For example,
exactly.
it is believed that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, there is a hadith by him approving, or Imam Al-Ridha approving Nowruz, the New Year festival of the Persians, which is a good behavior at the time of the spring. You know, everything becomes new. Now it's better to say to make your spirituality new too. So there are some approvals and recommendations of following them too. But as you said, as long as it is against our values, whether it is national or religious, it is not recommended at all. Valentine's Day is one of them, okay?
Yeah, so that chapter in Wasail al-Shia is regarding the fact that if you're going to, I mean, wear some clothes or even eat some food, which means that you're following that culture and so on and so forth, then it is at least makruh or disliked to do
yes.
that. Because the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt knew that it's not only about eating some foods or wearing some clothes. No, gradually speaking, there are more steps to it, and people would be more inclined toward that culture. In one narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam quotes from his father's, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is quoted as saying that, لا تزال هذه الأمة بخير. This nation, meaning the Islamic nation, would be with goodness. They will be blessed as long as they are not going to act like the people who are not Muslims.
Yes.
I mean, like wearing the clothes, I mean, eating the food. If you are going to do that, then darabahumullahu bidhul. Then they will be humiliated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
So that's the point. And we are talking about why we are not allowed to act like the people who are not Muslims. It is because of the fact that at the first glance, it might be only gifting.
Okay.
But then, I mean, year by year, yes. more attachment,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, there are more details to it, like as I mentioned, boyfriend, girlfriend, and then
a legitimate relation between
exactly.
opposite sex, non-mahrams.
And they have some
okay.
parties and doing
yes.
all different, committing all different sins.
Now, the question is if it is limited only to giving gifts, I mean, I don't know, between spouses or something like that, between mahrams. What about that time? Is it still recommended? I think not, isn't it?
I refer back to the verdict of Ayatollah Khamenei. He
mm-hmm.
says that it is not permissible if it involves haram actions.
Okay,
so
that's right.
Your question means that there is no haram action.
Yes.
Or promoting false Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Yes.
So sometimes there is no haram action involved. But the very fact that you are promoting such a day,
yes.
you are choosing this day for gifting to, I mean, your wife, for example.
Your beloved, that's right.
It means that you are promoting that Western culture.
Okay.
Of course, the cases are different. I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to give a judgment for
yes.
all the cases to be illegal. People may ask the religious authority that they follow.
Yes.
But it seems from this verdict that if our action means that we are spreading the culture of Valentine's Day,
yes.
and of course we claim that we are doing that in a legal way,
yes.
but the point is that Valentine is not only about legal actions.
That's right.
The culture in and of itself involves some illegal actions as well.
Okay.
And of course, then we are encouraged to choose some other days. For example, we have, the first day of the Hajjah, which is the day of the marriage of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Lady Zahra salamun alayha.
This according to the Shia beliefs.
Yeah, the
yes.
best day
yes.
for showing love, for gifting.
Okay.
And of course, as I mentioned, giving gifts in and of itself is highly encouraged by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying, give gift to each other so that you may love each other more, because giving gift would remove hatred among you. So there are many narrations in this regard between the brothers and sisters, I mean, Muslims, believers, wife, I mean, spouses,
that's
parent,
right.
and children. It can be done anytime, But as I mentioned, there are special occasions that we are encouraged. For example, the days of feast, like the 18th of Dhul-Hijjah, for example, is especially mentioned.
That's right.
So when we have such religious occasions, as Muslims, at least we are not encouraged to choose a day which involves some cultures coming from the West, and many of them being illegal in the eyes of Islam.
And much money is spent on the commercialization of such rituals, especially across U.S. and the Western countries. So many great, we can say, outstanding companies. For example, the U.S. Greeting Card Company. Mm-hmm. This is a company, okay? On Valentine's Day, they really make money, man, you know? And so so much commercialization is doing on this industry on the Valentine's Day. Whether to see it, is it good for your country or not? I mean, are you really helping your economy of this country, of a Muslim land, by doing so or no? You are putting damage on that. And so many other damages, as you said, and harms, culturally and religiously speaking. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding Islam's viewpoint on Valentine's Day. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much to the listeners for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The 53rd exhibition of Iran's nuclear industry achievements was inaugurated in Tehran on Thursday. The event showcases the latest nuclear products made in Iran. Attended by head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami, the expo put on display different applications of the nuclear sector, from centrifuges to radiopharmaceuticals and particle accelerators.
Despite all external pressures, we have managed to advance our nuclear sector, and this expo shows a small part of it. Today, we have become self-sufficient in nuclear fuel, radio medicine, and many other fields such as heavy water.
In recent years, Iran has been trying to diversify the applications of its nuclear sector. Besides power generation, the country is now focusing on particle accelerators for food irradiation and radiotherapy.
Irradiation systems are being built in Iran on a national scale. This will allow the country to irradiate all its food and agricultural products. This way, we can reduce food waste, ensure food security for our people, and enhance our agricultural exports.
Since Iran indigenized its nuclear industry in 2006, it has constantly been targeted by sanctions over what the West calls fears of a nuclear bomb, something which Tehran categorically rejects, saying its nuclear program is civilian and peaceful.
As you know, the West has long been leading a psychological campaign against Iran's nuclear activity, accusing Iran of pursuing non-peaceful purposes. So we hold this exhibition for our people to see for themselves that our nuclear program is peaceful.
Following the U.S. withdrawal from the 2015 deal and reinstatement of sanctions against Tehran in 2018, Iran took retaliatory steps by scaling back its commitments to the pact. The Vienna discussions between Iran and the remaining parties to the 2015 deal, which aimed to revive the accord, have remained stalled since August last year. This, as Tehran says, it will come back to full compliance only if Washington removes all its sanctions.
By displaying these nuclear products, Iran tries to show the West that sanctions cannot disrupt its nuclear program. At the same time, the AEOI says it will continue to build up the country's nuclear industry even beyond the JCPOA limits, if sanctions are not removed. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Black Lives Matter. This is a popular slogan we often come across in the streets of the United States following the fatal shooting and beating to death of African Americans there. That began with the racially motivated killing of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, among others. anger and shock once again prevail as American protesters march to cities to denounce police brutalities and demand justice for another victim, 29-year-old Tyre Nichols. The man was beaten to death by a group of officers in the city of Memphis, Tennessee, after he was stopped for a traffic violation in early January. Nichols was in confusion as to why he had been stopped, but before he could know, the cops started kicking, punching, and pepper spraying him while he was crying for help. Nichols was pronounced dead in a hospital 3 days later. Activists are still in disbelief on how the police could treat a member of the society like Nichols as an enemy in the battlefield.
Here I am now in 2023, and I'm looking at another video, this in color, where I'm seeing another black man being beat to death. Rodney didn't die. This is worse. It's beat to death with no mercy on no crime that they can even find that he had committed.
Here at Nichols' funeral, his family desperately called for an end to police brutality against the African-American community. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, who was also present at the funeral, slammed the killing and talked about an act that has a slim chance of getting passed in the Congress. Ironically, U.S. officials have turned up on such occasions in the past and made similar promises, but to no avail. Figures show that police brutality remained as rampant as it had been in the previous years. Law enforcement killed nearly 1,200 people, or about 100 people a month last year, making it the deadliest for police violence. Repeated shooting and lack of transparency have already terrorized America's black community. Many believe the reoccurrence of the brutal scene cannot be prevented by just suspending culprits. No African American will truly become safe from police brutality until its root causes are identified and dealt with.
The most prestigious cinematic event in Iran has kicked off once again, bringing together filmmakers, directors, and members of the cast and crew, as well as movie lovers and moviegoers in Tehran. The 41st edition of the Fajr Film Festival opened with the screening of the movie Maestro by Imad Hosseini, an adaptation of Alina by David Mamet. A clear sign that this year we should be expecting a very different film festival. First and foremost is the conspicuous presence of first-time directors.
24 movies will be competing in the main categories. These movies were picked out of 87 movies that were submitted to the Secretariat. All the 24 movies will be screened first in Tehran and in about a week in 30 provinces across the country. The screenings will continue until February 12th.
But that is not all. In the international section, nearly two dozen movies are also taking part. For many of them, this is a regional movie premiere, which is why, as always, the spotlight is on the festival and movies participating in it.
The first days of the festival can tell you a lot about what's going to happen, and by the looks of things, I'm personally expecting to watch some really great movies this year.
Movies will be competing for the top award or the Crystal Seymour in six different sections based on their stories. The Cinema of Salvation, Resistance, Muhammad Amin, and Eastern Vista being the most competitive sections, with all eyes watching to see which movies will take home the Crystal Seymour.
For movie lovers and moviegoers, this is the time to be in Tehran. However, in less than a week, on February the 5th, movie theaters across the country will also be joining in. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
The situation for refugees in and around the European Union is getting worse by the day. At a meeting of EU lawmakers in Brussels on Wednesday, it was announced tougher controls will be used on the border between EU member Bulgaria and non-member Turkey.
Like drones and radar and other means of surveillance. As we've done last year, for example, in the last years, for example, in Romania, we've done it in Spain and Greece and in Poland.
EU institutions and leaders are accused of breaking international law surrounding the protection of refugees.
What is the EU answer to these protection gaps? More walls, more drones, more returns, more funding to Libyan detention centres.
Campaigners say shunned refugees are fleeing countries destabilized by the West. At the same time, millions of Ukrainians are being welcomed here and given the same rights as EU citizens.
This is a clear, hypocritic, racist, organized policy that the EU practicing. And this is not a new thing. This is an historical discrimination that the EU stand for as an imperialist power in the world.
Legislators are calling on EU leaders to provide safe, legal routes for refugees.
We need to guarantee the right to asylum for those who need shelter so they are not shamefully piled up in refugee camps or illegally pushed back or drowned in the Mediterranean Sea.
The EU is currently developing a new asylum policy, but it's already shrouded in scepticism.
The Commission has to step up to break the cycle of mistrust existing between member states by enforcing also current rules.
Many EU nations are now struggling to accommodate the millions of Ukrainian refugees who have travelled here. Thousands more continue to arrive each day. Agencies across the EU that are already overwhelmed warn breaking point is being reached. They are demanding additional resources from governments. Jerome Hughes at the European Parliament, Brussels.
The 44th anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini's return to Iran from several years of exile, marking the beginning of 10 days of celebrations. In Iran, festivities have begun, with Iranians from all walks of life gathering in the mausoleum of Imam Khomeini to renew their pledge of allegiance to the late founder of the Islamic Revolution, while a special ceremony is also underway, demonstrating that the divide-and-rule policy of the enemies of the Islamic Revolution has failed.
I've come here to renew my pledge of allegiance with Imam Khomeini, who was an advocate of social justice and at the forefront of fighting oppressors worldwide.
Assyrians have been living in Iran for more than 3,000 years. This shows that no matter what our enemies do, we will remain united as a nation.
Over the past 44 years, we have managed to overcome many obstacles simply because we remain united, and it's important for our nation to remain that way.
A point that was also raised by the keynote speaker of the ceremony, Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf.
The Islamic Revolution is known worldwide with the name of Imam Khomeini, a great man known for fighting imperialism who always invited the nation to be united in the face of our enemies' plots and said, you know, you're walking down the right path when your enemies do everything they can to stop you. If your enemies are ever indifferent, it is a clear sign that we have deviated from the right path. So their increased animosity is actually a good sign.
That is why the presence of masses at the mausoleum this year is more significant than previous years, considering a period of foreign-backed riots in the country and Western countries increasing political pressure on Iran to unprecedented levels.
We are here to say that we are proud of our revolution and our country.
When Imam Khomeini needed our support to topple the Pahlavi regime, my sons did not hesitate.
I am here to say that I will always support the leader and the Islamic revolution.
My son gave his life for this revolution, and I am here to uphold his values.
Iranians are celebrating the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution at a time when they've managed to thwart foreign-backed riots in the country and bring peace and calm back to all the cities across Iran. More than anything, the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution is a show of solidarity. Gisumi Shahmadi, Tehran.
The decision to send German and American tanks to Ukraine is continuing to generate controversy. Many believe the move will prolong the war, and there's concern as to how Russia might respond. However, at a parliamentary hearing on Tuesday, EU legislators were told the West should go even further.
Russia is attacking Ukraine from Russian territory, so obviously we should provide the Ukrainians with long-range missiles, obviously.
There are a lot of EU lawmakers who agree.
Any delay to supply Ukraine with needed weaponry and ammunition
is more lives lost on the battlefield.
Some argue constantly supplying lethal weapons to Ukraine is foolish.
We're prepared to risk nuclear war in order to continue this US-NATO proxy war. It is total madness. And this European Union and the European Parliament have lost the plot. They've lost the run of themselves.
European Union taxpayers have provided 50 billion euro to Kiev since last March.
What happens to all the money we send to Ukraine? Is it just disappearing into individuals' pockets? Even President Zelensky has had to admit there's a big problem with widespread corruption.
A number of legislators would like to see less division within the EU.
Austria and Hungary just decided we will not deliver weapons. Okay, it's their decision. But that shows already some hesitation or some breakup of unity.
Spanish MEP Javier Nart told his colleagues it's, quote, ridiculous to suggest Ukraine can win the war against Russia. For now, the US and Germany have ruled out providing fighter jets to Ukraine. Others, including France, have not. According to many analysts, the risk that the conflict could escalate further and spiral completely out of control has never been greater. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin visited South Korea this week to reassure officials here that Washington will remain committed to the U.S.-South Korea alliance.
The U.S. commitment to the defense of Korea is ironclad. You heard us say that a number of times, but that's just not a slogan. It is what we're all about. That commitment is ironclad. And our extended deterrence is at the heart of that commitment.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol restarted large-scale joint military exercises with the U.S. last year, although the U.S. reportedly deployed its so-called strategic assets, weapons capable of delivering nuclear bombs. The South Korean leader wants more American firepower at his disposal. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol has repeatedly suggested the need for the U.S. to make a stronger demonstration of extended deterrence, its nuclear umbrella. And the South Korean public has grown skeptical of the U.S. alliance, with a majority now advocating that South Korea develop its own nuclear weapons. The U.S. has also pressured South Korea for greater cooperation with Japan in participation in joint drills. Peace advocates find such a trilateral alliance worrisome.
If the South Korea-U.S. and South Korea-U.S.-Japan alliances are established through cooperative military exercises, the South Korean military will now defend Japan and the U.S. mainland in the Pacific, not South Korea. South Korea will then be reduced to an outpost to protect the United States and Japan.
Meanwhile, earlier this week, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg visited South Korea to encourage Seoul to send weapons directly to Ukraine. South Korea is exporting weapons to countries that are sending their own military supplies to Ukraine, but has so far refused to provide Kiev with direct military aid. Frank Smith, Seoul.
In a new decree by the Ministry of Higher Education, the Taliban government ordered universities and private institutions in Afghanistan not to enroll women in the entrance exam of 2023. While this decree strengthens a December decree that totally banned women from education, women feel frustrated about their future educations.
When I first heard that we can't enroll for the entrance exam and saw the decree, I felt frustrated. I had high hopes for my future. I feel terrible about that.
I felt like my life had come to an end when I heard this. To be alive is not just to breathe. One must reach their dreams. I felt deeply sorry and not alive.
While the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, with 57 members of Muslim countries, has called the new decree disappointing, Iran's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hossein Amir Abdullahian, in a press conference expressed his country's readiness to provide any kind of support to Afghanistan in order to restore women's education in the country. Iranian universities had already announced their readiness to hold online classes for the women of Afghanistan. The women in Afghanistan say such a cooperation could be useful.
Once again, we stress that banning girls and women of Afghanistan from education is an improper act and against Islamic teachings. Iran is ready to offer any kind of support needed to upgrade education and reopen schools for the women of Afghanistan, in coordination with the interim Afghan government.
Meantime, Afghan women say international community has turned a blind eye to their problems.
Unfortunately, whatever happens in Afghanistan, the international community just condemns it. Online education, on the other hand, is definitely positive, but not as much as face-to-face classes. We women ask the international community to negotiate with the Taliban on reopening the schools.
Education ban in Afghanistan started 500 days ago on girls in 7th to 12th grade, then a ban on universities 2 months ago, and following that, women were banned from working for foreign NGOs and organizations that caused many of these NGOs to stop their mission in Afghanistan. Now, a ban on entrance exam and the question, is there going to be more such restrictions?
In both decrees on women's education ban, a line draws attention saying, until further notice. But nobody really knows if and when this ban will end. Abdullah Mirzadeh, Kabul.
This is Bahman, the month which reminds us of love and empathy.
In the limelight.
The U.S. administration is not only unable to fulfill its promises, but also insists on a racist, xenophobic and repressive view of immigration. And while the number of immigrants entering United States' southern border with Mexico reaches record levels, the treatment of illegal immigrants violates human rights in many cases. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency tells us more. Immigration arrests nearly doubled in 2022 compared to 2021, as border authorities apprehended more migrants and courts blocked the so-called efforts of U.S. President Joe Biden to more narrowly target detentions to focus on serious criminals. According to data released on Friday, 30th of December, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, arrested nearly 143,000 immigrants in the 2022 fiscal year, which ended on 30th of September, close to double the number in 2021. The data showed around two-thirds of those arrested were of people with only immigration violations. Officials said on a call with reporters most were migrants apprehended at the U.S.-Mexico border, with no criminal convictions or charges pending, and who were transferred to ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. At the same time, Immigration and Customs Enforcement deported around 72,000 migrants to more than 150 countries around the world and aided Border Patrol agents in expelling many more from the United States under pandemic-era restriction known as Title 42. Deportation under a statute known as Title 8 is a more formal and drawn-out process that can lead to long bars on U.S. re-entry as compared to expulsions that can take just hours under Title 42, a policy that has been in place since the beginning of the COVID pandemic in March of 2020. U.S. Border Patrol agents apprehended a record 2.2 million migrants at the southwest border in the 2022 fiscal year. Close to half of those arrested were rapidly expelled under the Title 42 policy. Those not expelled are either released into the country to pursue immigration claims or detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. According to Immigration and Customs Enforcement report, more Nicaraguans than any other nationality are currently detained, as migrants from that country are crossing with increasing frequency. Generally, Mexico only accepts the expulsion of some nationalities, mostly Mexicans and Central Americans, and more recently Venezuelans, under Title 42. In 2022, overall, the agency held an average of 22,600 people in custody, with another 321,000 enrolled in an alternative to detention program, which requires release migrants to check in with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. After President Biden took office in January of 2021, his administration issued Immigration and Customs Enforcement guidelines to prioritize the arrest of more serious offenders and de-emphasize enforcement against non-criminals, in contrast to the hardline immigration policies of his predecessor, Donald Trump. CNN News Network has also covered the same story. The U.S. Supreme Court said on Tuesday, 27th of December, that the controversial Trump-era border restriction known as Title 42 will remain in effect while legal challenges play out in courts of law, a move that ensures that federal officials will be able to continue to swiftly expel migrants at U.S. borders at least for the next several months. The 5-4 order is a victory for Republican-led states that urged the Supreme Court to step in and block a lower court opinion that ordered the termination of Title 42. The Biden administration has said it was prepared for the authority to end and had put in place precautions to guard against confusion at the border and any potential surge of migrants. In its order, the court also agreed to take up the state's appeal this term. The court said it would hear arguments on the case during its argument session that begins in February of 2023. Chief Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan said they denied the application, but they did not explain their thinking. Conservative Chief Justice Neil Gorsuch also dissented and explained his thinking in an order joined by Liberal Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Neil Gorsuch said he does not discuss the state's concerns about border security. But Gorsuch noted that Title 42 was put in place to combat COVID-19, and the current border crisis is not a COVID crisis. Chief Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote, "Courts should not be in the business of perpetuating administrative edicts designed for one emergency only because elected officials have failed to address a different emergency." Since March of 2020, Title 42 has allowed U.S. border agents to immediately turn away migrants who have crossed the southern border in the name of COVID-19 prevention. Immigrant advocates and public health experts have long denounced use of public health authority along the U.S. southern border with Mexico, arguing it was an inappropriate pretext for barring migrants from entering the United States. According to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, in nearly 3 years, the authority has been used over 2 million times to turn away migrants. At the border, migrants have been waiting in encampments in Mexico for months, anticipating the end of the authority so they can make their claim of asylum in the United States. Immigrant advocates have tried to disseminate updates and information to migrants, but desperation has grown, especially as temperatures drop. Agence France-Presse has also covered the same story. The decision to uphold a controversial rule known as Title 42 stemmed off a looming political crisis for President Joe Biden, as thousands waited at the southern border with Mexico in expectation the policy was about to end. The U.S. Supreme Court said Title 42, which allows the swift expulsion even of people who might qualify for asylum, would remain in place, pending its own ruling on the issue, and that it would hear the case in February of 2023. The court claimed in its 5-4 ruling, 19 states contend that they face an immigration crisis at the border and policymakers have failed to agree on adequate measures to address it. The states suggest the only means left to mitigate the crisis is an order from this court directing the federal government to continue its COVID-era Title 42 policies as long as possible. The ruling could give the Biden administration, which had conceded that Title 42 was wrong and had prepared for a surge of asylum-seeking migrants, until May or June before a final decision is announced. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre said the administration will comply with the court's order and prepare for the hearing. Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy claimed that removing Title 42 would have made our border crisis worse, and the White House seemed willing to let that happen. Carla Marisol Vargas, senior attorney at the Texas Civil Rights Project, in a statement said, "As a COVID control strategy, a humanitarian policy and a border policy, Title 42 has not only failed, but caused irreparable harm on a massive scale."
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salamun alaikum. You are listening to Lantern, and we have a new story. Think about the ass in the lion's skin, and come to listen to our today's story. An ass found a lion's skin left in the forest by a hunter. He dressed himself in it and amused himself by hiding in a thicket and rushing out suddenly at the animals who passed that way. All took to their heels the moment they saw him. The ass was so pleased to see the animals running away from him, just as if he were King Lion himself, that he could not keep from expressing his delight by a loud, harsh bray. A fox who ran with the rest stopped short as soon as he heard the voice. Approaching the ass, he said with a laugh, "If you had kept your mouth shut, you will might have frightened me too, but you gave yourself away with that silly bray." A fool may deceive by his dress and appearance, but his words will soon show what he really is.
بسم Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Lantern, and this is Beta at your service. A new story, a new day, a new perspective, and a new life. The story of today is the story of everyday life which we are facing in modern world. You know, the ass under the lion's skin. Sometimes I, make friend with someone, and after a long time, when something bad happens to this relationship, I will understand that, okay, I saw that behavior from the moment this person opened his mouth to speak to me. But why we ignore these kind of things? Because we tend to actually pay our full attention to the appearance of other people. But sometimes you have to stop. You have to make a challenge for yourself before facing this kind of problem in real world. What is this challenge which I always have it with myself is that, for example, let's put yourself in a situation of, I don't know, going through a marriage. In this situation, you have to be aware of the personality of that person. I mean, appearance is not the thing that will last forever. So, what would you choose? The person with a beautiful appearance, with, I don't know, beautiful hair, beautiful skin, and so on, but without no manner. And at the other side, we have a person with, I don't know, maybe a normal appearance, or even it tends to be ugly from some sides, but let me tell you that nothing is ugly in this world. It depends on the way you see other people. The beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Don't forget this beautiful quote. So, which one do you choose? This is really difficult for me, at least. Because, you know, sometimes I wonder, how should I tolerate a person with that appearance? You know, we cannot go extreme and tell, appearance is nothing. Yeah, appearance matters, okay? But a problem pops up when you decide about the personality of that person by their appearance.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
You know, and there are some actually, maybe I can tell some smart people who would choose this opportunity to deceive you. Especially in business matters and something, there are many beautiful, well-dressed people who are trying to sell you something, I don't know, maybe second times as the price as it should be. And this is where you have to be really attentive, where you have to be really careful and not go through the trap that they are making for you. And this is not all. We can, I don't know, count countless examples here of being deceived by the appearance of people. But let me tell you something which I think is really interesting. It is not all. There are a group of people who are trying to deceive you by their appearance. But when they open their mouths to speak, you can understand that, okay, who they are. But the disaster is where the people are trying to deceive you by the way they speak. You know, there are times that we are deceived by how beautiful people speak. So what should we do in this complicated world that from all the walls are, people fighting you for deceiving you for their own benefits? The only thing I can tell you is that you have to be thoughtful, you have to be attentive, and you have to go through the mistakes, through some dark part of your life, sometimes everything is out of brightness, to, taste the bitterness of being hurt by someone, by being deceived by someone. And I think this is unavoidable. This is what we have to go through. I'm not telling you to go through that. I'm telling you that you will go if, I don't know, whether you want to do that or you don't. But the thing that matters here is how you want to control it, how you want to control this situation, this place of being deceived. And at the other side, you have to know that sometimes you are the one who is deceiving other people. In these kind of situations, I always tell people and myself that you are not exception. You are a human being, and human is to err, as I told you countless times. You have to know that you may be the person who is deceiving other people. But don't forget that the fact always will be revealed, and the sun won't be hidden under the clouds. And at the end, I want to leave you with a beautiful Persian poem, which I want to tell you the translation and interpretation of this poem, which tells you, if the key of the treasure of a human being is lost, you cannot go deep in that person. And what is the key of a treasure of a human being? Exactly. This is your mouth. Be careful about your words and always be thoughtful. Thank you for listening to us. It was all the time we had for today's episode. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi
tatma'innul qulub. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.